The COVID-19 crisis has prompted us to think about what we really need in many areas of life. From groceries to home office equipment to creative ways of staying connected with family and friends. As we anticipate emerging from our quarantine, we'll spend several weeks considering Jesus' most essential teachings. Our message series, Summer on the Mount, brings us back to the basics about what it means to live, think, and act as people who find all we truly need in Him.
Hello there, Northgate family, and welcome to our online visitors. This weekend, we are starting a new series called Summer on the Mount, and it refers to Jesus' epic teaching that is found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 about what it means to follow God, the essence of what it means to be His people. Now, when we first thought of this series and named this series, we expected the weather to be a little warmer. In fact, we thought about filming this outside, and we didn't think that was such a good idea based on the weather we've been having lately. We hope it catches up to our series as we go along. But with the way that COVID-19 has just thrown our worlds topsy-turvy and upside down, we know that focusing on Jesus' essential teachings is a good investment of our time and our attention. So let's dive in. The first part of the Sermon on the Mount is known as the Beatitudes, and we just heard that from Matthew 5, verses 1 through 16. The Beatitudes basically means blessedness, blessedness. And like much of Jesus' life and ministry, it's full of surprises. It's not what we expect to hear. The groups of people Jesus calls blessed are not the usual suspects. In our world that typically celebrates the rich and the famous and the good-looking and the strong, those who generally get and stay ahead in life, instead, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. And blessed are those who mourn. Yes, you heard that right. Blessed are those who mourn. Those who mourn are hurting. They've experienced deep loss. They're often confused, disoriented, unsure of their next steps. Those who mourn can find it challenging to get out of bed every morning and face a new day. They feel distraught, distressed, and at times hopeless. They cannot regain what they've lost, and they have a hard time seeing the way forward. Does that resonate with anybody, with what we're going through? Now, I know some of you are going through and have experienced during this time some very deeply personal losses. And on top of the usual grief associated with those kinds of losses, you find yourself in the midst of a grieving world. We collectively are mourners. Mourners like Jesus is referring to and calling blessed. How can that be? It doesn't quite make sense unless we really dig in and think about what Jesus meant by that. Well, what are we mourning? Maybe that we should start there. We're mourning the loss of life and health in our world as COVID-19 takes its toll. We're mourning the loss of jobs and economic vitality. We're mourning the loss of freedom, right? To come and go from our homes to our jobs to church. We miss each other. We miss seeing each other at church and worshiping together and going to other people's homes. We're mourning the loss of normal everyday life and activities. A few months ago, I spoke at a community Christmas memorial service where about 400 mourners gathered here at Northgate. a gathering that size seems like a distant memory, but they came together with their grief in common, looking for hope and comfort during the holidays. And I felt led to preach from this passage. I told them, that crowd of hurting people, that Jesus called them blessed. And today I tell you, this virtual crowd of hurting people, that Jesus calls you blessed. Well, what does blessed even mean, or blessed? You know, the Americans, as Americans, we tend to abbreviate things. So from here on, I'll just say the word blessed. Times and circumstances have changed since that Galilean hillside thousands of years ago, where Jesus looked out on the hurting crowd and poured out his wise words and blessings. To the church service just last December, where I shared those same words with a few hundred of you, a few hundred Western New Yorkers. To now, here and now, in this strange time and place, this circumstance where I'm telling you, and to be honest, I'm telling myself too, we are blessed. We are blessed. It's a funny little word. It's become more popular in recent years thanks to social media and the use of hashtags. Some people use the word blessed preceded by a hashtag to convey their heartfelt gratitude for good times and good people in their lives. There's a man who attends the Arbor House Church, which meets at our South Campus. His name is Bob, and if you ask Bob, hey, how you doing today? He'll always answer, I'm blessed. And you can tell he means that, and he's glad and grateful for his life. Other people, however, tend to use the word blessed as a sort of spiritualized bragging. And what do I mean by that? Well, you say, how are you? To a different kind of Bob. How are you doing? Well, I'm blessed, they might say, and they'll proceed to tell you about their latest accomplishment or their latest purchase or their latest impressive home improvement or whatever. But the tone behind that brand of blessedness in that person's reply, it's like, look at me. Life is good, and I must be some kind of wonderful to deserve all of this. A quick Bible study investigation into the word blessed shows that it's not easily translated into the English language. Some versions of the Bible translate the word blessed or blessed into happy. In other contexts, people might try to substitute the words favored or fortunate to convey the meaning behind the word blessed. But the word happy doesn't quite fit because it narrows that meaning to a specific emotional state of being. And to say, happy are those who mourn, just doesn't make any sense. The word fortunate isn't quite right either, because it comes from the Latin word for chance or luck. No, I believe that being blessed is based not on feelings or on fortune, but that blessing begins with being. And that's the main point for this message. Blessedness, the kind that Jesus was referring to, doesn't come from what we've earned or accomplished or purchased or enjoyed, but from who we are, the essence of who we are. And more importantly, whose we are. And based on our true identity, the people we are becoming. Who are we? Whose are we? And who are we becoming? As followers of Jesus, we base our identity, our being, on who he is. The basis, then, of our blessedness is not life circumstances or emotional responses to those circumstances. We are blessed simply and yet profoundly because of Jesus and who he is, and the blessing and the sustenance that his presence in our lives brings. both now and forever. We are blessed because we belong to Him. We are blessed by being with Him. And our condition of blessedness, this being blessed, it increases the longer and the deeper we experience relationship with Him. Let's talk about those three essential aspects of our being, of being blessed. First, belonging to Jesus. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, we become God's child. Well, what do I mean by that? I mean we believe Jesus. We read the gospel messages. We read the whole of Scripture, the Old and the New Testaments, and we decide in our hearts. The Bible itself says God's Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We simply say, yes, God, I hear you. I read this. It resonates in my spirit. I know that you are the way and the truth and the life. I believe that you are the Messiah, God's chosen one, the one whose sacrifice, whose death on the cross substituted, took the place for my sin and my atonement. And when we say yes to that, it's simple. At that moment, we're adopted into God's family. It's a spiritual miracle and a wonderful reality. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." Who and whose are we? We are a people belonging to God. Once we become part of God's family, this tribe of Christ followers, what then? What do we do? How do we proceed? Well, what do Christ followers do? We follow Christ, right? That means spending time with Him, talking to Him on a daily basis in prayer. And not just once a day, like something to check off of a to-do list. Pastor John gave an excellent description of an ongoing conversation that we can have with God in prayer throughout each day. If you missed that message, or if you missed any of our messages, you can go to northgatefmc.com and watch that or rewatch that. It's one of the blessings of having to go online, is that we can revisit the messages anytime. So being with Jesus means praying, conversing with Him. It also means reading the Bible, learning about His teachings like we're doing right now, noticing how Jesus treated people, and then going and doing likewise. Likewise, that's a key word there, because when we spend time with Jesus, we become like Him. It sounds simple, and I don't know about you, but when I look in the mirror, or really when I look at my life and all of my quirks and fumblings and bumblings, I think it seems unlikely, if not impossible, that I could come to resemble the Son of the Most High God. That's how I feel about it sometimes. But our feelings can be overcome by reality, right? And Jesus says that we can become like Him by being with Him and by learning from Him. And I choose to believe Him. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, we read about some other people who were quirky, who fumbled and bumbled their way through life, and yet they spent time with Jesus and it showed. Let's read what it says. "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." See? Being with Jesus makes us noticeably different. If it's true for Peter and John, it can be true for us. He changes the essence of who we are, how we think, how we act, how we speak. Being with Jesus makes us blessed. So we've talked about our blessedness as belonging to Jesus and being with Jesus. And finally, what does it mean to be in Jesus? I think it means that when we surrender our whole selves to Him, we become whole ourselves. The goal is to become whole. I don't mean to be cheesy with my rhyme there, but sometimes that helps it stick, and it's true. The goal is to become whole. That's God's goal for us through the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit working in us, transforming us into the likeness of Jesus, healing us from the inside out, so that we then can heal and help others every day, every step of the way, just as He heals and helps us. Being in Jesus, abiding in Him, as Jesus describes in John chapter 15, that abiding concept, it means living all our days and nights and moments on this earth in a state of awareness and appreciation, and I would say holy awe of God's presence with us. Now, we have to remind ourselves of this reality often. That's why it's so important to pray on an ongoing basis and to be reading the Bible daily. And sometimes the reminders come from other Christ followers, from our brothers and sisters in the faith, encouraging us with the truth that we are completely dependent on His goodness to make our goodness possible. Acts 17:28 says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." In the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, verse 34, Jesus performed one of His many miracles, and He said to the woman He had just healed, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." And some translations say, "made you whole." Your faith has made you whole. And then He said, "go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Living this way, belonging to and being with Jesus and being in Him, it makes us kind of odd. It makes us different. It makes us salty and shiny. Now let me explain that. Today's text about blessedness ends with two small but powerful directives from Jesus. We are not only to live as blessed people, but also as people who season and enlighten the world around us because of the way we are. He says, "be salt and be light." Jesus said in another part of Scripture, John chapter 8, verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Well, that is obviously true because Jesus said it. But I also like the author Flannery O'Connor's spin on that verse when she said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you odd." We are different than the world around us, and that is the way we should be. Jewish tradition associates salt with wisdom and light with truth. And here's something I learned while preparing to share this message with you today. In Jesus' time, it was a common practice to apply a little bit of salt to the wick of a candle before lighting it, because that salt made the light shine that much brighter. Being with Jesus will make us both wise and radiant. And so for today's takeaway, I want to leave you with this. Let your life reflect your faith in Jesus. He is the light of the world.